Welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps, episode 5, book 3, part 2, read by Sam Skills. It's the book Monster Blood by R.L. Stine in the old Goosebumps series. It's about a boy named Evan and his dog Trigger, and they're staying with Evan's aunt and her spooky cat, and the aunt's deaf and she doesn't even know sign language or anything, and Evan's bored, then he meets some broad, and there's two twins, they're total douches, and then Evan and the broad, they buy some monster blood, and the aunt's like, whoa, what's up with that stuff, and they play with the monster blood, and there's monster blood. I don't know. I'm in a bad mood. Let's just leave me to drink my Cisco alone as I also enjoy Sam Skills reading Monster Blood on Dune Reads Goosebumps.
Chapter 13. Trigger, come back! Come back! The big dog continued to run, its giant paws thundering against the concrete. Come back! Evan screamed, running with a long, desperate stride, his heart thudding, his legs aching with each step as he tried to catch up with the galloping dog. The night was dark and starless. The street glistened as if it had recently rained. Trigger's paws hit the pavement, each step a loud thunderclap that seemed to echo forever. His giant ears flapped like wings, twin pennants caught on the wind. His big head bobbed up and down, but he didn't look back. Trigger! Trigger! Evan's voice seemed muffled by the gusting wind, pushed back in his face. He tried shouting louder, but no sound came out at all. He knew he had to stop the dog from running away. He had to catch the dog and then get help. Trigger was growing so fast, completely out of control. He was already the size of a pony, and getting larger by the minute. Evan was kind of happy, because he always wanted a pony as a child. Trigger! Trigger! Stop, boy! Trigger didn't seem to hear him. Evan's voice didn't seem to carry beyond the gusting, swirling wind. And still, Evan ran, his chest pounding, every muscle aching. And as he ran, he suddenly realized there were others running, too. Two large figures in front of the stampeding dog. Two large figures Evan recognized as they fled at full speed, trying to get away from the onrushing animal. The Baymer twins, Rick and Tony. Those assholes who pushed him to the floor earlier. No one likes Rick. No one likes Tony, thought Evan. Trigger was chasing them. Evan suddenly realized. The boys turned a corner, onto an even darker street. Trigger followed, bounding after them. Evan continued to run, bringing up the rear of his dark, mysterious parade. All was silent now, except for the steady, rhythmic thunder of Trigger's enormous padded paws. Well, except for the clap, clap, clap of the Baymer twins' sneakers as they darted along the glistening pavement. Except for the gasp of Evan's breathing as he struggled to keep up. Suddenly, as Evan watched in horror, the dog raised up on his hind legs. He tilted his head to the sky and let out an ear-piercing howl. Ooh! But more ear-piercing. Not the howl of a dog, a creature howl. Ooh, kinda like that. And then Trigger's features began to transform. His forehead burst forward and enlarged. His eyes grew wide and round before sinking under the protruding forehead. Fangs slid from his gaping mouth, and he uttered another howl to the sky, louder and more chilling than the first. He's a monster! He's a monster! Evan cried and woke up. Wow, another R.L. Stine fucking dream wake-up sequence. R.L. Stine formula. 1. Have every character have a pet, either a dog or a cat. Have this pet lead them on some type of chase. Then have them have a dream about the monster in the fucking story. Wow. Alright, back to the story. And realized he was in bed, in the study, upstairs at Catherine's house. It all had been a dream. A frightening, wild chase of a dream that made for a perfect chapter 13. A harmless dream, except that something still wasn't right. The bed, it felt so uncomfortable, so cramped. Evan sat up, alert, wide awake now, and stared down at his giant feet, his giant hands, and realized how tiny the bed seemed beneath him, because he was a giant now, because he had grown so huge, so monstrously huge, and when he saw how big he had become, he opened his mouth wide and began to scream, "I bet this is another dream!" Chapter 14. His screams woke him up. This time he really woke up, because previously it was a dream. What a fucking twist. He realized for the first time he had only dreamed that he was awake, had only dreamed that he had become a giant. Dreams upon dreams. Was he really awake now? He sat up, blinked, rubbed his eyes, struggled to focus. dripping with sweat, his blankets tossed to the floor, his pajamas damp, clinging to his prickly skin. Nothing seemed familiar. It took a while to shake off the dream, to remember where he was, that he was in his room at Catherine's. Awake now, his normal size. Tossed by the wind, the curtains brushed over him, then were noisily sucked out the window. Evan sat up, still feeling shaky, peering out the window. Wisps of gray clouds floated over a pale half-moon. Trees tossed and whispered in the cool night wind. Only a dream! Only a dream! A frightening dream! A dream on top of a dream! He could see Trigger sound asleep, curled up on himself, pressed against the fence wall. Trigger wasn't a monster, but he was definitely bigger, Evan saw. Maybe there's something wrong with him. The troubling thought pushed its way into Evan's mind as he stared down at the sleeping dog. Maybe it's glands or something. Maybe he's eating too much. Or maybe, Evan yawned. He realized he was too sleepy to think clearly. Maybe the next morning he'd see if there was a vet in town. Yawning again, he started to settle back into bed, but something caught his eye. The coffee can on the shelf. The can where he had stored the monster blood. Hey! He cried aloud in the narrator's voice. The green gunk was bubbling, quivering up over the top of the coffee can. Chapter 15!
Your dog seems to be quite healthy for his age.
Dr. Forrest scratched Trigger gently under the chin.
Look at all the white hairs, he said,
bringing his face down close to the dog's.
You're a good old dog, aren't you?
Trigger licked the dog's hand appreciatively. And by dog, I mean Doc. Dr. Forrest grinned, pushing his black eyeglasses up on his narrow nose, the ceiling light reflecting off his shiny forehead. He wiped his hand on the front of his white lab coat. Evan and Andy stood across from Trigger in the small, brightly lit office. They had both been tense during the long examination the vet had given the dog, but now, hearing the doctor's verdict, they had relaxed expressions on their faces.
So you think it's just a late growth spurt?
Evan repeated. Dr. Forrest nodded, returning to his desk in the corner.
Highly unusual, he said softly, leaning over the desk to write a note on a pad. Highly unusual. We'll get a lab report in 3 or 4 days. It may tell us more, but the dog seems very healthy to me. I really wouldn't be alarmed.
But do Cocker Spaniels usually get this big? Evan asked, leaning down to scratch Trigger under the chin, the leash looped loosely in his hand. Trigger wanted to leave. He pulled toward the door. Evan stood up and tugged hard at the leash to keep the dog in place. It took all of his strength. Trigger was not only bigger, he was much stronger than he had been a few days before.
No, not usually, the vet replied. That's why I took the hormone tests and the blood and glandular samples, and some other technical sciencey shit. Maybe the lab will have an answer for us.
He finished writing and tore the sheet off the pad.
Here,
he said, handing the paper to Evan.
I wrote down the name of a good dog food. Put Trigger on this and see that he cuts down on his between meal snacks.
He chuckled at his own joke. Evan thanked the doctor and allowed Trigger to pull him out of the office. Andy jogged after them. In the waiting room outside, a tiny chihuahua cowered behind the couch, whimpering at the sight of the big cocker spaniel.
I'm glad to be out of here, Evan exclaimed as they stepped out to the sidewalk. Trigger got a very good report, Andy said reassuringly, petting Trigger's head. Hey, look, his head is wider than my hand.
He's nearly as big as a sheepdog, Evan said miserably. Oh, that wasn't very miserable. It was probably more like this.
He's nearly as big as a sheepdog. And Dr. Forrest says he's perfectly okay.
Don't exaggerate, Andy scolded. She glanced at her watch.
Oh no, I don't believe it. Late for piano lesson. Again, Mom will kill me.
She waved goodbye, turned, and ran full speed down the sidewalk, nearly colliding with an elderly couple coming slowly out of the small grocery store on the corner. What a bitch.
Let's go, boy,
Evan said, thinking about what Dr. Forrest had said. Tugging the leash, he headed out of the small, three-block town. Despite the vet's assurances, Evan was still plenty worried about Trigger. He stopped outside the grocery.
Maybe an ice cream pop will help cheer me up.
He tied Trigger's leash to the red fire hydrant across from the grocery store.
Stay,
he instructed. Trigger, ignoring Evan, struggled to pull free.
I'll only be a second, Evan said and hurried into the store.
There were 3 or 4 people in the store, and it took a bit longer than Evan had expected. When he returned to the sidewalk 10 minutes later, he discovered the Bamer twins busily untying Trigger.
Hey, let go!
He cried angrily. They both turned toward him, identical grins on their beefy faces.
Look what we found,
one of them teased, referring to the dog, trying to be clever and diss the kid. The other one successfully untied the leash from the hydrant.
Hand me that,
Evan insisted, holding his chocolate ice cream bar in one hand, reaching for the leash handle with the other.
The Bamer twin held the leash handle out to Evan, then quickly snapped it back out of his reach. Gotcha! The brothers laughed gleefully and slapped each other a high five. Stop fooling around, Evan insisted. Hand me the leash. And when he did it in that voice, it seemed totally awesome and scary. Finders keepers, one of them said. Isn't that right, Tony? Yeah, Tony replied, grinning. It's an ugly dog, but it's our ugly dog now. Get your own dog, wimp, Rick said nastily. He stepped forward and punched the ice cream bar out of Evan's hand. Wow, that is hardcore as fuck. He punched the ice cream bar out of Evan's hand. It landed on the sidewalk with a plop. The coolest bully ever. The brothers started to laugh, but their laughter was cut short as Trigger suddenly uttered a low, warning growl. Pulling back his lips, he bared his teeth and his growl became a snarl. Hey! Rick cried, dropping the leash. Trigger reared up and pounced on Rick, forcing him to stagger backwards to the curb. Tony had already started to run, his sneakers pounding the pavement noisily as he headed at full speed past the vet's office, past the post office, and kept going. Wait up! Hey, Tony, wait up! Rick stumbled, stood up, and took off after his brother. Evan grabbed for Trigger's leash and missed. Trigger, whoa, stop! The dog took off after the fleeing twins, barking angrily, his enormous paws thudding loudly on the pavement, picking up speed as he closed in on them. No, Evan thought, finding himself frozen there in the corner in front of the grocery. No, 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 this can't be happening. It's my dream. Is it coming true? Evan shuddered, remembering the rest of his dream, remembering how he, too, grew until he was twice his size. Would that part of the dream also come true? Chapter 16. That afternoon, about an hour before dinner time, Evan called Andy. Can I come over? He asked. I have a small problem. Sounds like a big problem, Andy said. God, what a snarky bitch. I'm just calling everybody a bitch today. I apologize. Yeah, okay, a big problem, Evan snapped impatiently like a bitch. I'm not in a mood to kid around, okay? Okay, sorry, Andy replied quickly. Any sign of Rick and Tony? They're not your problem, are they? Not at the moment, he told her. I told you, they were gone by the time I caught up with Trigger. Disappeared, vanished. Trigger was still barking his head off. Somehow I dragged him home and got him in the pen. So what's your problem? She asked, like a bitch. I can't tell you, I have to show you, he said, like a bitch. I'll be right there, bye. He hung up the phone and hurried down the stairs, carrying the bucket. Catherine was in the kitchen, her back to him, chopping away at something with her big butcher knife like a bitch. Evan hurried past and darted out the door. Andy's house was a modern redwood ranch style with a low hedge of evergreens running along the front. Her dad, she said, was a fanatic about the lawn. It was clipped, a perfect inch and a half above the ground, smooth as a carpet. A flower garden stretched along the front of the house, tall orange and yellow tiger lilies bobbing in the gentle breeze. Wow, it's that kind of description that made Arlstein the acclaimed author that he is today. I can't tell you, I have to show you, he said. I'll be right there. Bye. He hung up the phone and hurried down the stair. Wow, I already read this shit. What's with the bucket? Was Andy's greeting as she let him in. Look, he said, out of breath from running all the way to her house. He held up the aluminum bucket he had taken from Catherine's garage. Oh, wow, Andy exclaimed, raising her hands to her face as she stared into it wide-eyed like that kid from Home Alone. Yeah, wow, he replied sarcastically. The monster blood, it's grown again. Look, it's almost filled this big bucket. What are we going to do? What do you mean, we? Andy teased, leading him into the den. Not funny, he muttered. You didn't want to share it, she insisted. I'll share it now, he said eagerly. In fact, do you want it? I'll give it to you for a bargain price. Free. He held the bucket toward her. Uh-uh. Andy shook her head, crossing her arms in front of her chest. Put it down, will you? She pointed to the corner behind the red leather couch. Wow, a red leather couch. There's some more of that awesome description. Put it over there. It's giving me the creeps. Giving you the creeps? Evan cried. What am I going to do? Every time I turn around, it grows some more. It's growing faster than Trigger. Hey! They both cried at once. Both had the same thought, the same frightening memory. Both suddenly remembered that Trigger had eaten a ball of the green gunk. Wow, it took them fucking 50 pages to realize that after he ate the gunk, he got bigger. That is fucking insane. Do you think... Evan started. Maybe, Andy replied, not waiting for him to finish his thought. Maybe Trigger's growing because he ate the monster blood. Wow, a couple of fucking geniuses. What am I gonna do? Evan wailed, pacing the room nervously, his hands shoved into his jeans pockets. The stuff is getting bigger and bigger, and so is poor Trigger. I'm all alone here. There's no one who can help me. No one! What about your aunt? Andy suggested, staring at the bucket on the floor in the corner. Maybe Catherine can think of something. Are you kidding? She can't hear me. She doesn't want to hear me. She hates me. She just sits at her jigsaw puzzle and argues with that horrible black cat all day. Okay, forget the aunt, Andy said, making a dispirited face. Perhaps if you told Dr. Forrest... Oh yeah, for sure. That'll work, Evan said. He'd really believe that Trigger is turning into a giant because I let him eat monster blood. He threw himself down on the couch. I'm all alone here, Andy. There's no one to help me. No one I can even talk to about this. Except me? Yeah, he said, locking his eyes on hers. Except you. And then they totally made out. He plopped down on the other end of the couch. Well, what can I do? She asked hesitantly. He jumped up and carried the bucket over. Take some of this. Let's split it up. Huh? Why don't we just toss it in the trash? She asked, staring down at it. The green gunk was pushing up near the top of the bucket. Toss it? We can't, he said. Sure we can. Come on, I'll show you. She reached for the bucket handle, but he shoved it out of her reach. What if it outgrows a trash can? He asked. What if it just keeps growing? Andy shrugged. I don't know. Also, I have to save it, Evan continued excitedly. If it's really the thing that's causing Trigger to grow, I'll need it as proof, you know, to show the doctors or whatever, so they can cure Trigger. Maybe we should call the police, Andy said thoughtfully, tugging at a strand of hair. Oh, sure, Evan replied, rolling his eyes. They'll really believe us, for sure. We bought the stuff in a toy store, officer, and now it's growing bigger and bigger, and it's turning my dog into a giant monster. Someone should write a book about this and publish it for children's 10 to 13. Okay, you're right, Andy said. We can't call the police. So, are you going to do something with this, then? Evan demanded. Will you take some of this stuff? I guess, she said reluctantly. But just a little. She climbed to her feet, carefully stepping around the bucket. I'll be right back. She left the room, then quickly returned, carrying an empty coffee can. Fill her up, she said, smiling. Evan stared at the coffee can. That's all you're going to take? He complained. Then he immediately softened his tone. Okay. It's a help. Annie crouched down and dipped the coffee can into the middle of the bucket. Hey! She cried out. Her hands flew up and she tumbled back onto the floor. What's wrong? Evan hurried over to her. It was pulling the coffee can in, she said, her features tight with fear and surprise. Sucking it in. Look! Evan peered into the bucket. The coffee can had disappeared under the surface. Huh? I could feel it pulling, Andy said shakily. She regained her perch over the bucket. Let's see, Evan said and plunged both hands into the middle of it. Yuck! Andy said. This is really gross. It's pulling. You're right, Evan agreed. It feels like it's pulling my hands down. Wow, it's so warm. As if it's alive. Don't say that, Andy cried with a shudder. Just get the can out, okay? Evan had to tug hard, but he managed to pull up the coffee can, filled to the top with a quivering green substance. Yuck. You sure I have to take this? Andy asked, not reaching for it even though she was holding it out right to her. Just for a while, he said, till we think of a better plan. Maybe we could feed it to the Baymer twins, Andy suggested, finally taking the can. Then we'd have giant Baymer twins. Evan joked. Wow, what a hilarious motherfucker. No, thank you. Seriously, you'd better watch out for them, Andy warned. If Trigger scared them away this morning, they'll be looking to get back at you. They really think they're tough dudes, Evan. They can be vicious. They could really hurt you. Because you're a little bitch. Thanks for trying to cheer me up, Evan said glumly. He apparently didn't like being called a bitch. He was still pulling tiny, clinging clumps of the monster blood off his hands and tossing them into the bucket. I was watching a video before you came over, the first Indiana Jones movie. Want to watch it? Evan shook his head. No, I'd better go. Aunt Catherine was busy making dinner when I left, chopping up some kind of meat, probably human. Ha 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 ha, another great dinner, sitting there in silence, being stared at by Aunt Catherine and her cat. Poor Evan, Andy said, half teasing, half sympathetic. He picked up the bucket, now only two-thirds full, and let her walk him to the front door. Call me later, okay? She asked. He nodded and stepped outside. She closed the door behind him. He was halfway to the sidewalk when the Baymer twins slipped out from behind the evergreen hedge, their hands balled into red, beefy fists. Dun dun dun! Chapter 17. The brothers stepped out of the shadows of the hedge. Their short blonde hair caught the late afternoon sunlight. They were both grinning gleefully. Evan stood frozen in place, staring from one to the other. Also, if you think about it, none of Arlstein's books would ever take place in modern times. Every one of these kids would be inside surfing the internet, calling each other his fags while playing Halo. No one said a word. One of the Baymers grabbed the bucket from Evan's hand and tossed it to the ground. The bucket hit with a heavy thud, and its thick green contents oozed onto the grass, making disgusting sucking sounds. Hey! Evan cried, breaking the tense silence. He didn't have a chance to say more. The other twin punched him hard in the stomach. It wasn't nearly as hardcore as when he punched his ice cream out of his own hand, which was fucking hilarious. But then Evan felt the pain radiate through his body. The punch took his breath away. He gasped for air. He didn't see the next punch. It landed on his cheek, just below his right eye. He howled in pain, and his hands flailed in the air helplessly. Both brothers were hitting him now, and then one of them gave Evan's shoulders a hard shove, and he went sprawling onto the cool, damp grass. The pain swept over him, blanketing him, followed by a wave of nausea. He closed his eyes, gasping noisily, waiting for the sharp ache in his stomach to fade. The ground seemed to tilt. He reached out and grabbed it, and held on tightly so he wouldn't fall off. When he finally managed to raise his head, Andy was standing over him, her eyes wide with alarm. "Evan!" He groaned and, pushing with both hands, tried to sit up. The dizziness, the spinning, tilting grass forced him to lie back down. "Are they gone?" he asked like a little bitch, closing his eyes, willing the dizziness away. "Rick and Tony, I saw them run away," Andy said, kneeling beside him. "Are you okay? Should I call my mom?" He opened his eyes. "Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't want to look like a little bitch. What happened?" she demanded. He raised a hand to his cheek. "Ow!" It was already swollen, too painful to touch. "They beat you up?" "Either that or I was hit by a truck," he groaned, apparently very unfunny after being hit repeatedly in the face. A few minutes later, it seemed like hours, he was back on his feet, breathing normally, rubbing his swollen cheek. "I've never been in a fight before," he told Andy, shaking his head. "Never." "It doesn't look like it was much of a fight," she said, her expression still tight with concern. He started to laugh, but it made his stomach hurt. "Ow!" "We'll pay them back," Andy said bitterly. "We'll find a way to pay them back, the creeps." "Oh, look, the monster blood!" Evan hurried over to it. The bucket lay on its side. The green gunk had oozed onto the grass, forming a wide, thick puddle. "I'll help you get it back in the bucket," Andy said, leaning over to stand the bucket up. "Hope it doesn't kill the grass. My dad'll have a cow if his precious lawn is hurt." "It's so heavy," Evan said, groaning as he tried to push the glob into the bucket. "It doesn't want to move. Let's try picking up handfuls," Andy suggested. "Whoa, it doesn't want to come apart," Evan said in surprise. "Look, it sticks together." "It's like taffy," Andy said. "Ever see them make taffy in those taffy machines? The stuff just sticks together in one big glob." "This isn't taffy," Evan muttered. "It's disgusting." Working together, they managed to lift the entire green ball and drop it into the bucket. The stuff made a sickening, sucking sound as it filled the bucket, and both Evan and Andy had trouble pulling their hands out of it. "It's so sticky," Andy said, making a disgusted face. "And warm," Evan added. He finally managed to free his hands from it. "It's like it's trying to swallow my hands," he said, wiping his hands on his t-shirt, sucking them in. Apparently, readers of Arlstein books don't get this concept until it's reiterated to them 10 times. The fucking monster blood is sucking people in, I get it. "Take it home," Andy said. She looked up to the house to see her mother motioning to her from the front window. "Uh-oh, dinner time, I've gotta go." Her eyes stopped at his swollen cheek. "Wait till your aunt sees you." "She probably won't even notice," Evan said glumly. He picked up the bucket by the handle. "What are we gonna do with this stuff?" "We'll take it back to the toy store tomorrow," Andy replied, taking long strides across the lawn to the house. "Huh? That's what we'll do. We'll simply take it back." Evan didn't think it was such a hot idea, but he didn't have the strength to argue about it now. He watched Andy disappear into the house, then he headed slowly back to Catherine's, his head throbbing, his stomach aching. Creeping along the wall of the house, he slipped into the garage through the side door to hide the bucket of monster blood. Sliding it behind an overturned wheelbarrow, he realized that the bucket was full to the top. "But I gave Andy a big hunk of it," he thought. The bucket had been only 2/3 full. "I'll have to find a bigger place to put it," he decided. "Tonight. Maybe there's a box or something in the basement." He crept into the house, determined to clean himself up before seeing Catherine. She was still busy in the kitchen, he saw, leaning over the stove, putting the last touches on dinner. He tiptoed up the stairs and washed up. Unable to do much about his swollen red cheek, he changed into a clean pair of baggy shorts and a fresh t-shirt and carefully brushed his hair. As they sat down at the dining room table, Catherine's eyes fell on Evan's swollen cheek.
"You been in a fight?" she asked, squinting suspiciously at him. "You're a little roughneck, aren't you? Just like your father. Chicken was always getting into scrapes, always picking on boys twice his size."
"I wasn't exactly picking on them," Evan muttered, sounding like the narrator again, spearing a chunk of beef from his stew with his fork. All through dinner, Catherine stared at his swollen cheek, but she didn't say another word. "She doesn't care if I'm hurt or not," Evan thought miserably. "She really doesn't care. She didn't even ask if it hurts." In a way, he was grateful. He didn't need her getting all upset, making a fuss because he was in a fight, maybe calling his parents in Atlanta and telling him. Well, she couldn't call his parents. Ha ha ha, she's deaf, he thought. She couldn't use the phone since she couldn't hear. Evan downed his big plate of beef stew. It was pretty good, except for the vegetables. The silence seemed so loud. He began thinking about his problem, the monster blood. Should he tell Catherine about it? He could write down the whole problem on the yellow pad and hand it to her to read. It would feel so good to tell someone, to have an adult take over the problem and handle it. But not his Aunt Catherine, he decided. She was too weird. She wouldn't understand. She wouldn't know what to do. And she wouldn't care. He went upstairs and started listening to some Linkin Park. Just kidding. Andy was right. They had to carry his stuff back to the toy store. Give it back. Just get rid of it. But in the meantime, he had to find something to keep it in. Evan waited in his room until he heard Catherine go to bed, a little after 10 o'clock. Then he crept down the stairs and headed out to the garage. Dun, dun, dun.
Chapter 18.
It was a cool, clear night. Crickets sent up a relentless curtain of noise. The black sky glittered with tiny specks of stars. The round beam of light from the flashlight in his hand darted across the driveway, leading Edmund to the dark garage. As he entered, something scuttled across the floor near the back wall. Maybe it was just a dead leaf, blown by the wind when I opened the door, he thought hopefully. He moved the flashlight unsteadily, beaming it onto the overturned wheelbarrow. Then, the light darted across the garage ceiling as he bent down, reached behind the wheelbarrow, and pulled out the bucket of monster blood. He moved the light to the center of the bucket and gasped. The green substance was quivering up over the top. It's growing much faster than before, he thought. I've got to find something bigger to hide it in, just for tonight. The bucket was too heavy to carry with one hand. Tucking the flashlight into his armpit, he gripped the bucket handle with both hands and hoisted the bucket off the floor. Struggling to keep from spilling it, he made his way into the dark house. He paused at the door to the basement steps, silently setting the heavy bucket down on the linoleum floor. He clicked the light switch on the wall. Somewhere downstairs, a dim light flickered on, casting a wash of pale yellow light over the concrete floor. And to go back to my original point, the reason this would never happen in the age of the internet is because this kid would have just gone onto Google image search and searched for monster blood. He would have clicked on the image, enlarged it, and read a description of monster blood and how to solve this very simple, trivial problem. There's gotta be something to put the stuff in down there, Evan thought. Hoisting up the bucket, he made his way slowly, carefully down the steep, dark stairway, leaning his shoulder against the wall to steady himself. Waiting for his eyes to adjust to the pale light, he saw that the basement was one large room, low-ceilinged and lamped. Damp. It was cluttered with cartons, stacks of old newspapers and magazines, and old furniture and appliances covered in stained, yellowed bedsheets. I like the fact that Arlstein should just write, "Imagine a cliched room that had never been used before," and that's what it is. Something brushed his face as he stepped away from the stairs. Oh my god, that's so scary! He uttered a silent cry, and dropping the bucket, raised his hands to swipe at the thick cobwebs that seemed to reach out for him. They clung to his skin, dry and scratchy, as he frantically pulled at them. He suddenly realized it wasn't the web that was moving against his cheek. It was a spider! Oh my god, that's never happened to anyone ever! With a sharp intake of breath, he brushed it away. But even after he saw the insect scuttle across the floor, he could still feel its prickly feet moving on his face. Moving quickly away from the wall, his heart pounding now, his eyes searching the open wooden shelves hidden in shadow against the far wall, he stumbled over something on the floor. Oh! He fell head first over it, throwing his hands forward to break his fall. A human body, someone lying there under him, he said. No, calm down, Evan, calm down, he instructed himself. He pulled himself shakily to his feet. It was a dressmaker's dummy he had stumbled over, probably a model of Catherine when she was younger. He rolled it out of the way as his eyes searched the shadowy room for a container to store the monster blood. What was that long, low object in front of the work table? Moving closer, he saw that it was an old bathtub, the inside stained, peeling, and quite convenient. It's big enough, he realized, and quickly decided to store the green gunk inside of it. With a loud groan, he hoisted the bucket onto the side of the old tub. His stomach muscles were still sore from the punch he had taken, and the pain shot through his body. He waited for the aching to fade, then tilted the bucket. The thick green substance rolled out of the bucket and hit the tub bottom with a sickening soft plop. Evan set the bucket aside and stared down at the monster blood, watching it ooze, spreading thickly over the bottom of the bathtub. To his surprise, the tub appeared nearly half full. How fast was this stuff growing? I think it's growing exactly as fast to make this story semi-kind of entertaining. He was leaning over the tub, about to make his way back upstairs, when he heard the cat screech. Screech! Startled, he let go of the side of the tub just as Sarah Beth leapt onto his back. Evan didn't have time to cry out as he toppled forward, over the edge of the tub, and into the thick green gunk. No! Chapter 19. Evan landed hard on his elbows, but the thick monster blood softened the fall. He heard the cat screech again and pad away. He sank into the ooze, his arms and legs flailing, trying to lift himself away, but the sticky substance was sucking him down, pulling him with surprising force. Kind of like earlier when it was pulling him with surprising force, and then before that when it was warm and pulling him with surprising force. His whole body seemed to be held by it, stuck as if in cement, and now it was quivering up, bubbling silently, rising up to his face. I'm going to suffocate, he realized. It's trying to choke me. Is this the fucking Venom story from Spider-Man? Is this fucking just stolen from Spider-Man? What the hell? Arlstein sucks. The warmth of it spreading across his body invaded his chest, his legs, his throat. I can't move. I'm stuck. It's trying to choke me. No! He pulled his head up just as the green gunk began to cover his face. Then he struggled to twist his body, to twist himself around it. With great effort, panting loudly, hoarse cries escaping his open lips, he pulled himself up into a sitting position. The green substance rose up even higher, as if it were reaching up to him, reaching to drag him back down into it. Evan gripped the side of the tub with both hands, held onto it tightly, and began to force himself up. Up, up from the clinging, pulling ooze. Up from the strange force that seemed to be drawing him back with renewed power. Up, up. No! He managed to scream as the warm green ooze slid over his shoulders. No! It was gripping his shoulders now, sliding around his neck, sucking him down, pulling him back into its sticky depths. Down, down. What a little bitch. I bet the fucking Bayer twins could have made it out. It's got me, he realized. It's got me now. Chapter 20. No! Evan screamed for like the 80th time, aloud as the green gunk bubbled up to his neck, pulling him down, pulling him down. No! Try again. Up. Try again. Up. Up. Yes! Gripping the sides of the tub, he was moving upward, pulling himself, hoisting himself, straining with all of his strength. Yes, yes, he was beating it. He was stronger than it was. One more tug and he would be free. With a relieved sigh, he dropped over the side of the tub onto the cool basement floor and lay there, pressed against the damp concrete, waiting to catch his breath. When he looked up, Sarah Beth stood a few feet away, her head cocked to one side, her yellow eyes peering into his, an expression of supreme satisfaction on her dark feline face. The next morning, after a fitful, restless sleep, Evan brought the pad of yellow-lined paper and a marker to the breakfast table. Looks like he was going to have to tell Aunt Catherine anyway.
Well, well, Catherine greeted him, placing a bowl of shredded wheat in front of him. You certainly look like something a cat dragged in,
she laughed, shaking her head.
Don't mention cat to me.
Evan muttered. Oh, ha, ha, he's so hilarious. I fucking hate that kid. He shoved the bowl of cereal aside and pointed to the pad in his hand.
Don't let your cereal get foggy,
Catherine scolded, reaching to push the bowl back to him.
You get more of the vitamins that way, and it's good roughage.
I don't care about your stupid roughage, Evan said moodily, knowing she couldn't hear him. He pointed to the pad again and then began to write, scribbling quickly, big black letters. His writing caught her interest. She looked around the table and stood behind him, her eyes on the pad, as she wrote his desperate message. I have a problem, he wrote. I need your help. The bathtub downstairs is overflowing with green monster blood, and I can't stop it. He put down the marker and held the pad up close to her face, looking up at her from the chair, seeing her pale face in the morning sunlight as she leaned over him in her gray flannel bathrobe. Catherine suddenly looked very old to him. Only her eyes, those vibrant blue eyes, running quickly over his words, seemed youthful and alive. Her lips were pursed tightly in concentration as she read what she had written. Then, as Evan stared eagerly up at her, her mouth spread into a wide smile. She tossed back her head and laughed. Completely bewildered by her reaction, Evan slid his chair back and jumped. She rested a hand on his shoulder and gave him a playful shove.
Don't kid an old woman,
she exclaimed, shaking her head. She turned and headed back to her side of the table.
I thought you were serious. I guess you're not like your father at all. He never played dumb jokes or tricks. Children was always such a serious boy.
I don't care about chicken, Evan shouted, losing control and tossing the pad angrily onto the breakfast table. His aunt burst out laughing. She didn't seem to notice that Evan was glaring at her frustration, his hands tightening his fists at his sides.
Monster bud, what an imagination.
She wiped tears of laughter from her eyes with her fingers. Then suddenly her expression turned serious. She grabbed his earlobe and squeezed it.
I warned you,
she whispered.
I warned you to be careful.
Ow! When he cried out in pain, she let go of his ear, her eyes glowing like blue jewels. I've got to get out of here, Evan thought, rubbing his tender earlobe. First he got beat up by those two twins, then he got beat up by his aunt. What a fucking little bitch. He turned and strode quickly from the kitchen and up to his room. By the way, I apologize to you, the reader. That's the last time I call anyone a bitch. I'm serious. It's not funny. It's not interesting. It doesn't make the story any better. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I knew he wouldn't be any help, he thought bitterly. She's just a crazy old lady. I should pull her down to the basement and show her the disgusting stuff, he thought, angrily tossing the clothes he had worn yesterday onto the floor. Yeah, you probably should, retard. You probably should take her down to the basement and show her the disgusting stuff. Maybe you should call the fucking police, or call anyone who isn't you and that stupid bitch Andy. Oh, sorry, I mean, that stupid retard Andy. But what's the point? She'd probably laugh at that too. She isn't going to help me. He had only one person he could rely on, he knew. Andy. Oh, wow. Wow. Andy. Wow. Wow. Fuck you, Arlstein. No one likes you. He called her, punching in her number with trembling fingers.
Hi. You're right,
he said, not giving her a chance to say anything. We have to take the stuff back to the store.
If we can carry it,
Andy replied, snarky as usual. That hunk of monster blood you gave me, it outgrew the coffee can. I put it in my parents' ice bucket, but it's outgrowing that. How about a plastic garbage bag? Evan suggested. You know, one of those really big lawn bags. We could probably carry it in a couple of those. It's worth a try, Andy said. This stuff is so disgusting. It's making all these sick noises, and it's really sticky.
Tell me about it, Evan replied gloomily, remembering the night before. I took a swim in it.
Huh? You can explain later, she said impatiently. The toy store opens at 10, I think. I can meet you on the corner in 20 minutes.
Good deal. Evan hung up the phone and headed to the garage to get a plastic lawn bag.
Andy showed up with her plastic bag wrapped around the handlebars of her BMX bike. Once again, Evan had to go along besides her on foot. His plastic bag was bulging and so heavy he had to drag it over the sidewalk. He couldn't lift it.
I swear to God, if you were dragging a plastic bag on the sidewalk, it would definitely rip open. That is retarded.
The tub was nearly full to the top, he told Andy, groaning as he struggled to pull the bag over the curb. I'm afraid it's going to burst out of this bag.
It probably will because you're dragging it on the sidewalk, you retard.
Only two blocks to go, she said, trying to sound reassuring but sounding like a retard. A car rolled by slowly. The driver, a teenager with a long black hair, stuck his head out the window, grinning. What's in the bag? A dead body? He said.
Just garbage, Evan told him.
That's for sure, Andy muttered as the car rolled away. Several people stopped to stare at them as they entered town. Hi, Miss Winslow, Andy called to a friend of her mother's. Miss Winslow waved, then gave Andy a curious stare and headed into the grocery. Andy climbed off her bike and walked in. Evan continued to drag his bulging bag behind him. They made their way, and then they stopped short in the middle of the street and gaped in shock. The door and window of the store boarded up. A small hand-printed sign tacked to the top of the door read, Out of Business. Womp womp.
Chapter 21. Desperate to get rid of the disgusting contents of the garbage bags, Evan pounded on the door anyway. Come on, somebody, somebody, open up! No reply. He pounded with both fists. Silence. Finally, Andy had to pull him away.
The store is closed, a young woman called from across the street. It closed a few days ago, see? It's all boarded up and everything.
Duh, you retard.
Very helpful, Evan muttered under his breath because she sounded like a retard. He slammed his hand angrily against the door. Evan, stop, you'll hurt yourself, Andy warned. Quit being a retard.
Now what? Evan demanded.
Got any more fantastic ideas, Andy? You're the retard.
She shrugged.
It's your turn to come up with something brilliant.
Evan sighed miserably.
Maybe I should give it to Catherine and tell her it's beef. Then she'd chop it up with her knife she's always carrying around. That doesn't even make any sense, Andy said. You're a retard, Andy continued. I don't think you're thinking too clearly right now.
They both stared down at the garbage bags. They appeared to be moving, expanding, and contracting as if the green globs inside were breathing.
Let's go back to Catherine's, Evan said, his voice trembling like a retard. Maybe we'll think of something on the way.
I apologize to the reader. I will stop using the term retard. I realize it doesn't add very much to the story, nor is it entertaining to you. Please accept my sincere apologies.
Somehow they managed to drag the monster blood back to Catherine's house. The sun had gotten high in the sky, and they headed to the backyard. Evan was drenched with sweat. His arms ached. His head throbbed.
Now what?
He asked weakly, letting go of the bulging lawn bag.
Andy leaned her bike against the side of the garage. She pointed to the big aluminum trash can next to the garage door.
How about that? It looks pretty sturdy.
She walked over it to investigate.
And look, the lid clamps down.
Okay. Evan agreed, wiping his forehead with the sleeve of his t-shirt. Andy pulled off the lid of the big can. Then she dumped in the contents of her bag. It hit the bottom with a sick, squishy sound. Then she hurried to help Evan.
It's so heavy,
Evan groaned, struggling to pull the bag up.
We can do it,
Andy insisted, like a bitch retard. Working together, they managed to slide the monster blood from the plastic bag. It rolled out like a tidal wave, sloshing noisily against the sides of the can, raising up as if trying to escape. With a loud sigh of relief, Evan slammed the metal lid down on top of it and clamped the handles down.
Whoa!
Andy cried. They both stared at the can for a long time as if expecting it to explode or burst apart.
Now what?
Evan asked as his features tightened with fear. Before Andy could reply, they saw Catherine step out of the kitchen door. Her eyes searched the backyard until she spotted them.
Evan, good move!
She called. Glancing back at the trash can, Evan and Andy came over. Catherine was holding a yellow piece of paper in her hand, a telegram.
Your mother is coming to pick you up this afternoon,
Catherine said, a wide smile on her face. I think Catherine is glad to get rid of me, Evan's first thought. And then, dismissing that thought, he leapt over and whooped for joy. It was the best news he'd ever received. I'm out of here, he exclaimed,
sounding like his aunt just to make fun of her, but she couldn't even hear him.
I'm out of here. I can't wait, you dumb, retarded bitch,
he said to his aunt, doing a perfect impression. Andy didn't appear to share his joy.
You're leaving your aunt a nice little surprise over there, she said, pointing to the trash can.
I don't care. I'm out of here,
Evan repeated, raising his hand for Andy to slap him a high five. She didn't cooperate. Don't you think we have to tell someone about the monster blood or do something about it before you leave? But Evan was too excited to think about that now.
Hey, Trigger,
he called, running to the dog's pen at the back of the yard.
Trigger, we're going home, boy.
Evan pulled open the gate and gasped.
Chapter 22! Trigger!
The dog had come bounding toward him, looked like Trigger, but the Cocker Spaniel was the size of a pony. He had doubled in size since the day before. He was the size of the pony, just like in his dream earlier, where he was the size of a pony. Evan always wanted a pony.
No!
Evan had to hit the dirt as Trigger excitedly tried to jump on him.
Hey, wait!
Before Evan could get up, Trigger began barking ferociously. The huge dog was already past the gate and thundering across the backyard toward the street.
I don't believe it,
Andy cried, raising her hands to his face, staring in shock as the enormous creature bounded around the side of the house and out of sight.
He's so big! We've got to stop him. He might hurt someone,
Evan cried.
Trigger, Trigger, come back!
Still off balance, Evan started to run, calling frantically, but he stumbled over Andy's bike and fell into the trash can.
No!
Andy shrieked, looking helplessly on the metal can as it toppled over, with Evan sprawled on top of it. The can hit the driver with a loud clang.
Clang!
The lid popped off and rolled away. The green gunk poured out. It oozed away from the can, then stopped and appeared to stand up, quivering, making loud sucking sounds. It righted itself, pulling itself up tall. As the two kids stared in silent horror, the quivering green mass appeared to come to life, like a newly born creature pulling itself up, stretching, looking around. Then, with a loud sucking sound, it arched toward Evan, who was still sprawled on the toppled can.
Get up, Evan!
Andy cried.
Get up! It's going to roll right over you!
Chapter 23!
No!
Evan cried for like the 75th billionth time in this fucking story. Evan uttered an animal cry, sound he'd never made before.
No. He'd made it before. He made it 75 billion times before.
And rolled away as the quivering green ball bounced before him.
Run, Evan!
Andy screamed. She grabbed his hand and pulled him to his feet.
It's alive!
She cried.
Run!
We know it's alive. It was fucking vibrating and trying to suck you in and being warm and shit like that. Like, seriously, what is going on? You are the slowest children I've ever read about. The narrator gasped. The monster blood heaved itself against the garage wall. It seemed to stick there for a brief second. Then it peeled off and came bouncing toward them with a surprising speed.
Help! Help! Somebody please help!
Screaming at the top of their lungs, Evan and Andy took off, scrambling as fast as he could. His legs weak and rubbery from fear, Evan followed. Andy ran down the driveway toward the front yard.
Help! Oh, please, help us!
Evan's voice was hoarse from screaming. His heart thudded in his chest, his temples throbbed. He turned and saw that the monster blood was right behind them, picking up speed as it bounced down the yard, making disgusting squishing noises with each bounce.
Plop! Plop! Plop!
A robin pulled at a worm in the grass, but didn't look up in time. The trembling green mass rolled over it.
Oh!
Evan moaned. Turning back to see the bird sucked into the green ball, its wings flapping frantically, the bird uttered a final cry, then disappeared inside.
Pop, pop, pop!
The monster blood changed direction, still bouncing and quivering and leaving white stains on the grass like enormous root footsteps.
It's alive!
Andy screamed, her hands pressed against her cheeks.
Oh my god, it's alive! What can we do? What can we do?
Evan didn't recognize his own terrified voice because he sounded like a little bitch retard. I'm sorry. That was the last time, I swear.
It's catching up!
Andy screamed, pulling it by the hand.
Run!
Gasping loudly, they made their way to the front of the house.
Hey, what's happening?
A voice called.
Huh?
Startled by the voice, Evan stopped short. He looked to the sidewalk to see the Bamer twins, matching grins on their beefy faces.
My favorite punching bag,
one of them said to Evan. He raised his fist menacingly while eating a delicious candy bar. They took a few steps toward Evan and Andy, then their grins faded and their mouths dropped open in horror as the gigantic green mouse appeared.
Ah, fuck you.
As the gigantic green mass appeared, heading down the drive, rolling as fast as a bicycle.
Look out!
Evan screamed, but he didn't really mean it. He was hoping those assholes would get rolled over by the fucking green mass.
Run!
Andy cried, but she didn't really mean it either. But the two brothers, they were too startled to move.
Ha ha!
Evan screamed. Their eyes bulging with fear, they threw their hands up as if trying to shield themselves.
Plop, plop, plop.
The enormous ball of monster blood picked up speed as it bounced forward. Evan shut his eyes as it hit the twins with a deafening smack.
Ow! No!
Both brothers cried out, flailing their arms, struggling to pull themselves free.
Help us! Please help us! Their bodies twisted and writhed. Writhed? How do you pronounce that? Writhed? Their bodies twisted and, like, moved around and stuff as they struggled, but they were stuck tight. The green gunk oozed over them, covering them completely. Then it pulled them inside with a loud sucking pop. Pop! Andy shielded her eyes. Sick, she muttered. Oh, sick! And by sick, she meant the most unsick thing you could ever see when someone was dying. They basically got buried alive. Evan gasped in helpless horror as the Bamer brothers finally stopped struggling. Their arms went limp, their faces disappeared into the quivering gunk. The sucking sounds grew louder as the two boys were pulled deeper and deeper inside. Then the monster blood bounced high, turned, and started back up the drive. Andy and Evan froze, unsure of which way to head. Split up! Evan cried. It can't go after us both! Andy returned his frightened stare. She opened her mouth, but no sound came out. Split up! Split up! Evan repeated shrilly. But, Andy started. Before she could say anything, the front door of the house burst open and Catherine stepped out onto the stoop.
Hey, what are you kids doing? What's that?
She cried, gripping the screen door, her eyes filling with horror. Picking up speed, the giant ball bounded toward the stoop. Catherine tossed up her hands in fright. She stood frozen for a long moment as if trying to make sense of what she was seeing. Then, leaving the front door wide open, she spun around and fled into the house. Plop, plop, the monster blood hesitated at the front stoop. It bounced in place once, twice, three times as if considering what to do next. Evan and Andy gaped in horror from across the lawn, trying to catch their breath. A wave of nausea swept over Evan as he saw the Bamer twins, still visible deep within the quivering glob, faceless prisoners bouncing inside it. Then, suddenly, the monster blood bounced high and hurtled up the stairs of the stoop. No! Evan screamed as it squeezed through the open doorway and disappeared into the house. From the middle of the yard, Andy and Evan heard Catherine's blood-curdling scream. Bleh! It's got Aunt Catherine! Evan said weakly. Chapter 24. Evan reached the house first. He had run so fast his lungs felt as if they were about to burst. What are you going to do? Andy called, following close behind. I don't know, Evan replied. He grabbed onto the screen door and propelled himself into the house. Aunt Catherine! Evan screamed, bursting into the living room. The enormous glob filled the center of the small room. The Bamer twins were outlined in its side as it bounced and quivered, oozing over the carpet, leaving its sticky footprints in its path. It took Evan a few seconds to see his aunt. The bouncing hunk of monster blood had backed her against the fireplace. Aunt Catherine, run! Evan cried, but even he could see that she had nowhere to run. But more importantly, he remembered, oh wait, she can't hear anything I'm saying. She's deaf.
Get out of here, kids!
Catherine cried, her voice shrill and trembling, suddenly sounding very old.
But Aunt Catherine, get out of here now!
The old woman insisted, her black hair wild about her head, her eyes, those blue penetrating eyes, staring hard at the green glob as if willing it to go away. Evan turned to Andy, uncertain of what to do. Andy's hands tugged at the sides of her hair, her eyes wide with growing fear, as the seething green glob made its way steadily closer to Evan's aunt.
Get out!
Catherine repeated shrilly.
Save your lives! I made this thing! Now I must die for it!
Evan gasped. Had he heard her correctly? What had his aunt just said? It's really hard to understand someone who talks in such a weird voice like that. It's kind of weird to put that type of character into your book. I'm sure there'd be a lot more problems if you were going to do this as an audio book. The words repeated in his mind, clear now, so clear and so frightening. I made this thing. Now I must die for it. Chapter 25. No! Holy shit! People say no a lot in this fucking story. Gaping in horror as the sickening glob of monster blood pushed toward his hand, Evan felt the room tilt and begin to spin. He gripped the back of Catherine's armchair as pictures flooded his mind. He saw the strange bone pendant Catherine always wore around her neck, the mysterious books that lined the walls of his bedroom, Sarabeth, the black cat with the glowing yellow eyes, the black shawl Catherine always wrapped around her shoulders in the evening.
I made this thing! Now I must die for it!
Evan saw it all now, and it began to become clear to him. Evan pictured the day he and Andy brought home the can of monster blood from the toy store. Catherine had insisted on seeing it, on studying it, on touching it. He remembered the way she rolled the can around in her hands, examining it so carefully, moving her lips silently as she read the label. What had she been doing? What had she been saying? A thought flashed into Evan's mind. Had she been casting a spell on the can? A spell to make the monster blood grow? A spell to terrify Evan? But why? She didn't even know Evan. Why did she want to frighten him? To kill him.
Be careful,
she had called him after handing the blue back. Be careful. It was a real warning. A warning against her spell.
You did this! Evan shouted in a voice he didn't recognize. The words burst out of him. He had no control over them. You did this! You cast a spell! He repeated, pointing an accusing finger at his aunt. He saw her blue eyes shimmer as they read his lips. Then her eyes filled with tears, tears that overflowed onto her pale cheeks. No! She cried. No! You did something to this can. You did this, Aunt Catherine. No! She cried, shouting over the sickening grunts and plops of the mountainous ball that clearly hid her from view. No! Catherine cried, her back pressed tightly against the mantelpiece.
I didn't do it. She did.
And she pointed an accusing finger at Andy. Chapter 26. Andy? Was Aunt Catherine accusing Andy? Evan spun around to confront Andy, but Andy turned too, and Evan realized immediately that his aunt wasn't pointing at Andy. She was pointing past Andy to Sarah Beth. Standing in the doorway to the living room, the black cat hissed and arched her back, her yellow eyes flailing at Catherine.
She did it! She's the one!
Catherine declared, pointing frantically. The enormous glob of green monster blood bounced back, retreated a step as if stung by Catherine's words. Shadows shifted inside the glob as it quivered, catching the light filtering through the living room window. Evan stared at the cat, then turned his eyes to Andy. She shrugged, her face frozen in horror and bewilderment. Aunt Catherine is crazy, Evan thought sadly. She's totally lost it. She isn't making any sense. None of this makes sense. I also like the fact that I've just had fucking 3 to 4 minutes of describing the situation, and somehow this glob that's just rolling over everyone and fucking killing them is just hanging out, waiting for the story to reveal itself, waiting for everybody to point around the room and tell us who's who and what's what, and explain the fucking plotline. Thank you, Blob.
She's the one,
Catherine repeated. The cat hissed in response. The glob bounced in place, carrying the unmoving Bamer twins inside.
Oh, look!
Evan cried to Andy as the black cat suddenly raised up on its hind legs. Andy gasped and squeezed Evan's arm. Her hand was as cold as ice. Still hissing, the cat grew like a shadow against the wall. It raised its claws, swiping the air, its eyes closed, and it became consumed in darkness. No one moved. The only sounds Evan could hear were the bubbling of the green glob and the pounding of his own heart. All eyes were on the cat as it rose up, stretched, and grew. And as it grew, it changed its shape, became human, with shadowy arms and legs in the eerie darkness. And then the shadow stepped away from the darkness, and Sarah Beth was now a young woman with fiery red hair and pale skin and yellow eyes, the same yellow cat eyes that had haunted Evan since he'd arrived. The young woman was dressed in a swirling black gown down to her ankles. She stood blocking the doorway, staring accusingly at Catherine.
You see? She's the one,
Catherine said quietly now, and the next words were intended only for Sarah Beth.
Your spell over me is broken. I will do no more work for you.
Sarah Beth tossed her red hair behind a black-clothed shoulder and laughed. I'll decide what you do, Catherine.
No, Catherine insisted. For 20 years you have used me, Sarah Beth. For 20 years you have imprisoned me, held me in your spell, but now I will use this monster blood to escape.
Sarah Beth laughed again, partially at the words she was saying and partially at how retarded she sounded.
There is no escape, fool. All of you must die now. All of you.
Chapter 27.
All of you must die,
Sarah Beth repeated. Her smile revealed that she enjoyed saying those words. Catherine turned to Evan, her eyes reflecting her fear.
20 years ago, I thought she was my friend. I was all alone here. I thought I could trust her, but she cast a spell on me, and then another. Her dark magic made me deaf. She refused to let me lip-read or learn the sign. That was one way she kept me prisoner.
But Aunt Catherine,
Evan started. He didn't understand what the fuck she was saying. That's right, give the deaf person a monologue. She raised a finger to her lips to silence him.
Sarah Beth forced me to cast a spell on the can of monster blood. She warned me that I was allowed no guests, you see. I was her slave, her personal servant for all these years. She wanted me all to herself to do her evil bidding. When you arrived,
Catherine continued, her back still pressed against the fireplace mantle, for some reason the blob is still not killing anyone.
She first decided to scare you away, but that was impossible. You had nowhere to go. Then she became desperate to get you out of the way. She was terrified that you would learn her secret, that you would somehow free me of her spell. So Sarah Beth decided that you had to die.
Catherine's eyes fell. She sighed.
I'm so sorry, Evan. I had no choice.
no will of my own." She turned her eyes to Sarah Beth. "But no more, no more, no more, as I plunge myself into this ghastly creation, Sarah Beth. I will end your spell. I will end your hold on me."
"The children will still die," Sarah Beth said quietly, coldly.
"What?"
Catherine's eyes filled with fury.
"I will be gone, Sarah Beth. You can let the children go. You have no reason to do them any harm."
"They know too much," Sarah Beth replied softly, crossing her slender arms in front of her, her yellow eyes aglow. "She's kind of hot," Evan thought. "We've got to get out of here," Evan whispered to Andy, staring at the seething green glob.
"But how?"
Andy whispered back. Evan wasn't paying attention because he was like, man, if it wasn't for those green glob things and the yellow eyes, she would be really hot.
"Sarah Beth is blocking the doorway."
Evan's eyes darted around the small room, searching for an escape route. Nothing. Sarah Beth raised one hand and drew it toward her slowly as if summoning the green glob. It quivered once, twice, then moved obediently in the direction of her hand.
"No, Sarah Beth, stop,"
Catherine pleaded. Ignoring Catherine, Sarah Beth gestured with her hand again. The green gunk bubbled and rolled forward.
"Kill the children," Sarah Beth commanded, something that I've muttered many, many times.
The enormous glob picked up speed as it rolled across the carpet toward Evan and Andy.
"Let's rush the door," Evan suggested to Andy as they backed up again from the rolling monster blood. "She'll never let us pass," Andy cried.
"Kill the children,"
Sarah Beth repeated, raising both hands high above her head.
"Maybe one of us can get by her," Evan cried.
"It's too late," Andy shrieked. The bouncing, pulsating green glob was just a few feet away. It was the slowest green glob ever in the history of green globs.
We're going to be sucked in,"
Evan screamed. And by screamed, he mean just stood there, waited a couple more minutes, checked his watch, ate a fucking ice cream sandwich.
"Kill the children,"
Sarah Beth screamed triumphantly for the third time. What the
seriously, everyone says shit 10 million times. I fucking get it. I know how to read. I'm 13 years old. Assuming I'm in your demographic.
Chapter 28.
The glob rolled forward.
It's still rolling forward. Evan sighed, feeling all hope sink. Frozen in place, he felt as if he weighed 1,000 pounds. Andy grabbed his hand. They both closed their eyes and held their breath and waited for the impact. To their surprise, the monster blood emitted a deafening roar.
Roar!
Huh?
Evan opened his eyes. Andy, he saw, was staring at the doorway. Beyond Sarah Beth, the monster blood hadn't roared.
Trigger!
Evan cried. The huge dog bounded into the doorway, its deafening bark echoing off the low ceiling. Sarah Beth tried to get out of the dog's way, but she was too late. Thrilled to see Evan, Trigger enthusiastically leapt at Sarah Beth and pushed her from behind. Under the weight of the gigantic paws, Sarah Beth staggered forward, 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 raising her hands as she collided with the monster blood. There was a wet smack as Sarah Beth hit the surface of the green glob. Then loud, disgusting, sucking soises. Noises, not soises. What are soises? Her hands hit first, they disappeared quickly, and then Sarah Beth was in up to her elbows, and then the glob seemed to give a hard tug, and her body hit the surface. Then her face was pulled in and covered over. Sarah Beth never uttered a sound as she was pulled inside, whimpering with joy, completely unaware of what he had done. The dog loped into the room and headed for Evan.
Down, boy, down!
Evan cried as Trigger happily leapt at him, and as the dog jumped, he began to shrink.
Trigger!
Evan called in astonishment, reaching out to hold the dog. Trigger didn't seem to notice that he was changing. He licked Evan's face as Evan held on tightly. In seconds, Trigger was back to normal Cocker Spaniel size.
Look, the glob is shrinking too,
Andy cried, squeezing Evan's shoulder. Evan turned to see that the green glob was rapidly growing smaller. As it shrunk, the Bamer brothers fell to the floor. Damn it. I hated those motherfuckers. They didn't move. They lay face down in a crumpled heap. Hopefully they're dead. Their open eyes stared lifelessly. They didn't appear to be breathing. Then one blinked. The other blinked. Evan walked over and stomped their fucking heads in. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Their mouths opened and closed. I read that wrong.
Oh,
one of them uttered a long, low groan. Then, pulling themselves up slowly, they both looked around the room, dazed. The trapped robin had also fallen to the floor. Chirping furiously, it flapped its wings wildly and fluttered about the room in a panic until it was found the open living room window and sailed out. Andy held on to Evan as they stared at the monster blood, expecting Sarah Beth to reappear too. But Sarah Beth was gone, vanished. Wow, that makes a lot of fucking sense. Fuck you, Arlstein. Fuck you. The monster blood shrunk to its original size, lay lifeless, inert, a dull green spot on the carpet, no bigger than a tennis ball. The Bamer brothers stood up uncertainly, their eyes still reflecting terror and confusion. They stretched as if testing their arms and legs, seeing if their muscles still worked. Then they scrambled out of the house, slamming the screen door behind them.
It's over,
Catherine said softly, moving forward to put an arm around Evan and Andy. Her retarded bitch deaf voice was finally gone. Sarah Beth is gone,
Evan said, holding Trigger tightly in his arms.
And I can hear,
Catherine said jubilantly, hugging them both.
Sarah Beth and her spells are gone for good.
But as she said this, the screen door swung open, and a shadowy figure stepped into the living room doorway.
Chapter 29!
Mom! Evan cried.
What a fucking surprise. He set down Trigger and hurried to greet her, throwing his arms around her in a tight hug.
What on earth is going on here? Miss Ross asked. Why did those two boys come bursting out like that? They look scared to death.
It's a little hard to explain, Evan told her.
I'm so glad to see you.
Trigger was glad too. When he finally had finished jumping up and down and whimpering, Catherine led Evan's mom to the kitchen.
We'll make some tea, she said. I have a rather long story to tell you.
I hope it isn't too long,
Miss Ross said like a fucking bitch.
Sorry.
Glancing back questioningly at Evan.
We have a 4 o'clock plane to catch.
Mom, I think you'll find this story interesting, Evan said, flashing Andy an amused look.
Wow, all of a sudden we are about to die and now everything's funny as fuck.
The two women disappeared into the kitchen. Andy and Evan dropped down warily onto the couch.
I guess you're going forever, Andy said. I mean, to Atlanta and everything. I'd like to, write to you,
Evan said, suddenly feeling awkward.
Yeah, good, Andy replied, brightening. And my dad has a phone credit card. Maybe I could get the number and, you know, call you.
Yeah, great, Evan said.
Could I ask one small favor?
Andy asked.
Yeah, sure,
Evan replied, curious.
Well, it's going to sound strange, Andy said reluctantly. But can I have the little bit of monster blood that's left? You know, sort of as a memento or something?
Sure, okay with me, Evan said. They both turned their eyes to where it had come to rest on the carpet.
Hey!
Andy cried out in surprise.
It was gone. The end. Epilogue.
Oh, it's right behind the couch,
said Andy. Then Evan went off to Atlanta. For the first few weeks, Andy and Evan talked on the phone every day. But then Evan met a new neighbor, and the calls became farther and farther apart. Within 2 months of the story, each call became so awkward that they would never talk again. Andy became all gothic and shit. She tried to read spells and whatnot, and she gained 15 pounds. The Bamer twins both grew up to be murderers, killing an ice cream truck driver and a police officer before turning the guns on themselves inside of a local pizzeria.
The end. Or is it?
No, it is. That's the end. That's the end of the story.
Hey, bitches, I hope you had a bitchy bitch time with that bitch Sam's Guild, bitches. First off, I just would like to say that I'm not so sure that R.L. Stine actually included the epilogue. I don't have the deluxe edition or anything. In fact, I have a PDF file, but I feel like we might have been lied to at the end. You know what? I trust Sam's skills. That cat was such a bitch, you know? What a bitch. Stay spooky. God damn it, I want to say stay spooky bitches, because that's the official outro, you know? But I feel like we've exceeded our bitch quota for the podcast, so, stay spooky! I need some bitches. Stay spooky, bitches!